Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 28. And we're going to talk about part of that unshakable stuff that God wants us to zero in on in this great shaking time. Within this scripture is a prophetic scripture, and I believe it is very accurately applied to what is happening right now. It began in the United States initially, seems like, because that's where the most press came forth. But what's happening in the United States is happening globally. The economy is shaking this world more than 9/11 shook it. Our nation shook after 9/11, but other nations didn't shake. That was our peculiar problem to America, just like things that happened in other nations where thousands were killed didn't shake us. Amen. I dare say that you probably don't know, nor would I if I hadn't read, the number of people that are being killed in Darfur in South Africa. Because that's not in my world. That's in their world. It's not in your world. It's in their world. And I'm not scolding anyone, including myself, for not being aware of everything that's happening all over the globe in the world. But what's happening now, the shaking that is happening now, is global. It's not just in our world. It's in Japan. It's in China. It's in Russia. It's in Europe. And it's a global thing. This shaking is getting the world's attention. 9/11, for a little short season, got our attention. But what's happening right now is a global incident that is taking place. And what is kind of scary about this thing around the world is no one knows where it's actually going to end up. No one can say how things are going to be next year. No one's going to say when the economic situation is going to turn around. One thing people are going to become aware of, and this is casting no aspersions on our president. I pray for him. Whoever's in office has my prayerful concern that God would lead that person, irrespective of anything else. But the thing that people are going to find out very, very quickly is that no one individual can turn something that is global like this around. It just can't be done. It's a task that Superman couldn't handle. Amen? And there are no supermen. There are only people. And the only thing that can change this, the only one that can change this, particularly in our nation, is the Lord himself. Amen? We need a revival of people coming back to God and centering back on him. Materialism has become so pronounced in America, the church is in competition with the world on almost every level. We're in competition to the sports events to try to get people to church when they have all these alternatives. During the Super Bowl, churches either have to have a Super Bowl party at church or they have to call off the service because it's going to be such an impact of the Super Bowl on the church service. We've become materialistic, and that is an undeniable, indisputable fact. The church has become seeker-sensitive or seeker-friendly because we're in competition with the world. Amen. There's so many things to entertain people in the world, to get them in church. And I think the motive may have been in some churches pure to begin with. How do you reach people that have little or no interest in spiritual things? Well, you hook them with other things that they are interested in. And hopefully, if you get them under the roof, you give them the gospel of Jesus Christ eventually, kind of. But the experiment is not working because what is happening, people come to be entertained by the ministry rather than really instructed and give heed to it and go out and live a life of discipleship following Jesus Christ. So that experiment just is failing. And the wonderful thing to me, it's a negative, but the positive aspect of that is some of the leaders of the movement, which is beyond their control now, because if you got 10,000 people in your church, obviously I'd love to have 10,000 here tonight to minister a message from the Bible to of people that are interested in following Jesus and not playing church. I'd love to have 10,000 turned on Christians in a room tonight to minister to. That would just thrill me to no end. But I'm happy to be here, and I'm glad that you're here, because I believe I can make a difference. If I didn't believe I could make a difference, there wouldn't be any point of any of us being here. But I believe I can make a difference. I love the statement, I am one. I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And by the help and grace of God, what I can do, I will do. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And if everyone would do something, I believe all of us together, with the large, small, if God is in it, we can make a difference. But what is happening is global, and I don't have to go into all the statistics. And you watch CNN, you have access to the news. news periodicals, and there's no need putting your head in the sand and not reading the paper. These things are realities, and God has the attention. I honestly believe that God is getting the attention of many people that were just floating along as if everything was set. They could control everything. Well, there's a lot of people tonight, particularly the auto workers, that are wondering if they're going to have a job. A lot of if they file bankruptcy and restructure. Even with the help they're going to get, the billions that looks like they may get, there are people whose pensions, whose lifestyle is set around retirement, Social Security, and pensions from their job. Those pensions may not be forthcoming in the future. These are serious, serious times. Companies are cutting back. My son is he's kind of like the star out where he works. They loved him and they appreciate him and everything, but now his job is kind of iffy. There's little innuendo going on that there's going to be cutbacks and there's going to be closures and different things are going to happen. And it's all because the economy, this thing that just kept rolling and snowballing and rolling and snowballing, has suddenly begun to slow down. And the slowdown is still continuing as we sit here tonight. No one has put the brakes on this. Amen. It's still continuing to slow down more and more. I was in a mall just to illustrate this. Usually when I go up to the mall, it's closer for me to go to Lakeland than it is to Brandon. So I go to the Lakeland Mall on US 98. And I was off on a Friday. So I decided it's a good time, me and Pamela, to go, you know, traipse through the mall and hit the food court and whatever, you know, and just kind of ease through there and see what's going on, what's on sale. So we took a walk through the mall, and there's hardly anybody there on a Friday night. Normally on Friday night at Lakeland Mall, man, that place is just people everywhere. And I thought, you know, this is hitting home. Because all of these businesses, the biggest sales time of the year, of course, is the Christmas season. Because we buy gifts, we buy things we wouldn't normally buy. And there's nothing wrong with gifts and gift giving. I think there ought to be a celebration at Christmas time. I think we ought to have lights. I think we ought to celebrate. We ought to out-celebrate the world, to tell you the truth. Because we know Jesus is the reason for the season. But when people are holding back the money they would spend because of an uncertain future and because of the layoffs and the potential layoffs, and you start thinking about what is essential as opposed to what, you know, there's things you thought you couldn't do without that on second thought maybe you could do without it after all. Can you say, amen? We begin to reevaluate everything. Well, I told you something this morning, and I'm going to say it again tonight. The good news about all of this is in certain countries, particularly countries that haven't had the gospel permeate that country. In England, the Anglican Church has lost ground. It used to be a prominent, powerful impacting ministry, but they've lost ground, and people hardly go to churches anymore in England. Witchcraft, by the way, is thriving in merry old England. The occult thrives in England. If you don't believe it, just look at the author of the Harry Potter series and see how popular spells, witchcraft, enchantments can become. And while we're doing that, Mickey Mouse had some of that stuff too, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, so let's don't lay it all on England. We're kind of conditioned our kids to the good magic as opposed to the bad magic. We all know as Christians, all magic comes from one source, and God's not into magic. He's into supernatural things, but it's certainly isn't to do with spells, enchantments, and witchcraft. That's all from one place. Amen. We call the good stuff white magic, the bad stuff black magic, so we can legitimize being involved with it at all. There is no white magic. If it's supernatural, it comes from one of two places, and God doesn't do card tricks, and He doesn't do little, we don't do incantations, we don't cast spells, we pray. It's better than all of that. Can you say amen? We pray to God. And we trust in Him. But this thing has shaken. Globally, there's a shaking going on. And that's when the kingdom has to come to the forefront, particularly for Christians and believers. Kingdom things have to come to the forefront. According to the latest news I heard last week, there is a return of people coming back to church in England. And it is something that's happened in the United Kingdom. It's something that is taking place that is newsworthy and noteworthy. That's a good thing. See, now in America, they're not returning so much. People are going to churches many times. We've got some mega churches, the biggest things that have ever happened. The problem is the kingdom isn't necessarily what has drawn them to those churches. And in this shaking, we're going to find out what is going to really stand. There's a purpose in every shaking that God brings or that God permits or God allows. And as materialistic as our world has become, materialistic as the church of Jesus Christ in our world. Listen, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If I turn on my television and all I hear about is how to get things in a time such as this, in a time when we should be seeking God for revival, in a time when souls should be a priority, in a time when the coming of the Lord is at the doors and you don't even hear a message on the soon coming of Jesus Christ. It's incredible to me that we can stand in pulpits and not declare the whole counsel of God to people. But this is what brings the money in. People are willing to invest money to make money. When we lived behind the Holy Church of God for 25 years in Sulphur Springs, I could hear, especially when the wind carries sound waves, and I could hear when a race was about to start at the Tampa Greyhound track, and I could hear the particular bugle call that they would put out on the PA system before the race started, and I could hear this cheer going up from a crowd. Amen. I used to kind of think, boy, if I could hear that in church about Jesus some Sunday. But we did have that some Sundays because people in the neighborhood called us that noisy church. And they used to stand outside and listen to our singing and preaching and praising. And at least they know something was happening behind those stained glass windows. Praise God. Amen. But I would hear that cheer go up. You know why the cheer's going up? People have invested money hoping to make more money. They have bet on a dog and they hope he wins because they can quadruple, whatever their money. Dripple probably is not a word, but anyway. Amen. And they're all excited about that. People get excited about giving to a ministry if they're going to become millionaires. If you do the math, you can become a millionaire. In fact, I've done the math with some of my own giving back a few years ago and just kind of, you know, got a ballpark figure and tried to lowball and see how much God owes me. Man, before I die, you better get on my good side because if all these preachers are right, if they're right, before I die, guess what? I'm going to be a multi. Did you hear me? 100-fold every time you put a dollar in. That adds up real quick if you put it tabulated. 100-fold for every dollar really adds up. If that's all Jesus was talking about. But you know, he talked about things that they don't talk about in the same breath. 100-fold houses and lands, 100-fold sisters and brothers. Well, where do we get the 100-fold sisters and brothers? Amen. I never had one, still don't have one in the natural. Amen. My mom and dad going to get married again. They better get busy. Can you say amen? Amen. They've been divorced a long time, but if God's going to fulfill, come on, it's in the same breath, isn't it? Thou shalt receive 100-fold houses, land, sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers. How do you get but one daddy? Well, he's got to be talking about more than money here. Amen. What he's saying is, if you get involved in kingdom work, the fulfillment and satisfaction is going to be 100 times better than anything you can acquire on this earth. Wow, did you hear that? How do we take that one part about the material and lift it out? Well, it really stimulates. May I borrow that? I don't know if I can lift this. I haven't been to the gym in a while. Ladies' purses always amaze me. Don't ever call them the weaker sex if they carry things like this around. I could do curls with this. Amen? What does that stimulate? What does it stimulate? It stimulates giving for one reason and one only, and that is to get. And the people over in that Greyhound track, they're laying it down in with the pot. But we're going beyond that. We're not giving the possibility of it coming back. We're guaranteeing it. One man said, if you'll write $1,000, I guarantee your house will be paid off because this is a fundraising thing for a television network. Amen. Christian television. I guarantee you. Guarantee you. How can he guarantee something? Can you say, man, it's God's word we're dealing with here. And it's the rightfully dividing of it. Amen. I left house land. Amen. I had to be ostracized from my mother and I. Really, we were, you know, when I became a Christian, she didn't like coming to my house very much. I never bothered her, beleaguered her. Made her, you know, I just didn't jump on her every time she come around, but we're clearly Christian. We're unabashedly, unashamedly Christian. Amen. And we talk about the Lord publicly. Amen. Isn't that incredible? We're out of the closet Christians. at our house. Praise God. Amen. At work and everywhere I go. If you can't handle that, then I'm sorry. We can't have much of a relationship. I can handle that people are sinners. They ought to be able to handle that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But it stimulates. And we put it in the material. Everything is the material. The whole thing revolves. If you need a job, it's a material seed. If you need your children saved, you purchase it. It's all material. It's material to get the spiritual and the physical and the material back. Everything, whatever you need, it's always seed for the need instead of trusting God and serving Him and following Him. It's almost like all of these blessings that can't be bought with silver and gold or anything else are available on the open market for purchase. I'm going to tell you something. The blood of Jesus is the reason I opened my pocketbook. And you know what? He says, if you open it up because you love me and you support the work of the kingdom of God, you know what he says? He said, I'm going to bless you for that. Can you say amen? And I'll bless you materially. But he's going to give us what we need. And he's going to satisfy our soul with his presence. But I do not look to become a multimillionaire. And there are people that are. And all they have to do is go home and do the math. People have been following certain ministries for 15, 20 years. And all they got to do is go home and do the math. They've been seeding into the ministry that promised them and guarantees them a hundredfold for every dollar given. Do the math. Amen? Did you know how quickly a hundredfold mounts up? If you're giving $500 a month to a ministry, do you understand how quick that 500 becomes 5,000, and that 5,000 becomes 50,000, and that 50,000. I mean, it don't take long to become a millionaire. But you know who's becoming the millionaire? The person who's telling you that you can become. I've often wondered about these books of how to make millions in real estate and why that guy's on there if he's got all that money bothering himself with all of it. Why does he suddenly want to make me rich by selling me this book of how to get rich? Because his real money is coming from all those people buying his books. Everybody can't go out and get rich off of real estate. I know people that have bought the books and tried it. You got to hit some real deals. You got to have some great credit. It takes money to make money as a general rule. This is not biblical tonight, but there's a flip side of an old Ray Charles record that said, I'm down to my last pair of shoes, can't even win a nickel bet because them that's got are them that gets, and I ain't got nothing yet. A pretty true song. You almost have to have. But this idea of get rich quick so we can get fulfilled in life, that ideology, and there's nothing wrong with blessings. How many like blessings? I like blessings. How many feel that in your present condition, compared to the vast majority of the world we live in, you are blessed tonight? Amen. You have Jesus. Hallelujah. You have a car. Amen. This man can tell you that we're doing pretty good, aren't we, buddy? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you go to sleep in these woods a time or two, you know, you appreciate your bed. I slept in a pup tent at a Jesus 85, and I was a young man back in 85, or Jesus 80, or one of those things. That was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Me and my son went to a Jesus festival where they preached outdoors and had singing outdoors, and we slept in a pup tent, one of these little things you put up, and all we had was the ground. We had a little thin thing to lay on, and I got up the next morning, and I looked like the hunchback of Notre Dame without the hump. Can you say, man? I tell you, it wasn't fun at all. God has blessed America. And the Bible said that when God's people went in to the land of Canaan, where he wanted to bless them materially, amen, he said, I'm bringing you into a land in the book of Deuteronomy that flows with milk and honey. Amen. He told them, you're going to be so blessed when you get into this place that I want to bring you. But beware. The next thing he says is beware. With the blessing, with the prosperity, beware. Amen. Beware lest after thou art eaten and art full, and you've built your houses, and you've dug ore out of the mountains, and your crops flourish, and your herds increase, beware, lest you say, my hand hath gotten me these things, and forget the Lord thy God in keeping all the commandments that he commands you this day. Can you say, man? Unthankfulness and disobedience go hand in hand. Grateful people are obedient people. You can't be grateful and not express it by bowing before Him and obeying Him. You can't be thankful without being obedient. You can say you're thankful all you want, but you don't just give thanks to God. You live thanks to God. Amen. That's why you can't just do it in a praise service and go out and be disobedient. Obedient lives say thank you to the Lord for all He's done for us. Can you agree with that? Obedient lives. You say, "Oh, I'm so thankful for what." No, unless God don't buy that. It's keeping His commandments that shows gratefulness for the blessings. Can you say amen? Listening to Him, giving heed to His word. We think we can bow over a meal and say, "Thank you, Lord." Or once a year at Thanksgiving, we can thank Him for all the things we have. And that's satisfactory. It is not. Amen? You don't just give. Say it with me. I don't just give thanks. I live thanks. It's expressed in the life. Well, we became materialistic in America. Amazing thing. Back when the Waltons, I've told you this before, but they did an interview with some young people, teenagers on the streets of New York City wearing designer jeans and going to movies that cost, you know, $20 even back then to get in. And that's before you buy the popcorn and the Coke, which is another $20 in some theaters. If you get the jumbos, it adds up in a hurry. Amen. And these kids can spend more than my grocery budget just on going to the show. Back then, my grocery budget. When the Waltons was big on television. And why was it such a hit with these kind of young people that had more money than... My allowance was like a quarter. And to take Pamela out in my 54 Pontiac, amen, this big old straight eight, drunk a lot of gas, amen, to take her out, I had to take the bottles and trade them in and get the deposit money from the bottles to take her to the show. Of course, we didn't need popcorn or anything because... Anyway, moving right along. God was good and still is. You probably don't remember those days at all when being with your main squeeze was more important than the movie. Amen. I missed a lot of good movies. It's so good when VHS came out. I could see some of those movies I missed. Anyway, God was good back, and He's still good today. But America became materialistic. We forgot. There's no if, and, but, or maybe. We forgot. And our doctrine began to embrace the culture. And instead of standing in contrast to the world and saying, "We have a value system entirely different from yours." Doesn't mean we don't appreciate good things. It just simply means that we put our premium on eternal life. We put it on the cross. We put it on the blood of Jesus. It's precious to us. More precious than gold. More precious than diamonds. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we love the Lord. We love the Lord. Right now, some of the mega churches would not be mega if they didn't bring that message. They wouldn't be mega. If they required that people deny themselves and take up a cross in order to follow Jesus, they wouldn't have that horde of people coming in. Jim Baker said, "I embraced this particular message. And look what it did. It took him down and down and down, and Satan deceived him by it. Amen. His empire came crashing down around him. His life went into chaos. He stood in Carpenter's Home Church, a mega church at that time in our area, one of the few in our area at that time. And he said millions, quoted by the Tampa Tribune. I had the clipping for a long time in my book of clippings at home, and in the clipping from the Tampa Tribune of that service, because the press went, because they knew this notorious man, notorious in the sense of his fall, was going to be preaching that morning, and they printed what he said. And he said, tens of thousands of people are going to hear a message on how to get things, when the real message the church should be preaching is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But no one listened to what Jim said after his fall, because others came on the scene that didn't seem to fall. They stood and they prospered and they became highly influential, and they're still there today. But their message, at some point, while this shaking is going on, is going to become questionable. People are going to have to face reality. What is hitting America and hitting the world, amen, is affecting all of us. Christians are not in some kind of isolated spiritual bubble where it just keeps pouring in. So to compensate as the economy declines, there's more emphasis on the message that the forces of the Gentiles are going to be given to us. Really, it's not about us. It's about Christ's reign when he comes to set up his kingdom upon the earth and the nations of the world pay tribute. Amen. Any Bible scholar, in fact, you don't have to be a scholar, just to study Bible and look at the heading. It's prophetic of Israel restored under the messianic rule of Jesus Christ. That's when that happens. They've taken it out of the context of prophetic future, put it in our personal now to get people to... Amen? I was amazed in the congressman who were questioning the guys coming from the big three automakers who came to Washington, D.C. in corporate jets. It just took back these people that said, you're about to go bankrupt, you're about to go belly up, you're begging for billions of dollars, and you're coming here in a corporate jet. A corporate jet that cost, and I didn't know the cost of these things, I've never done the math, but they did. Amen? It cost $20,000. To fly from Michigan to Washington, D.C., round trip, to bring one guy in the style that he's used to moving in. $20,000. And a first class, not coach, first class, this senator said this, to them on television, a first class airline ticket, $839 round trip, sitting first class. First class, I've never ridden in first class. I saw someone, I think, years ago that I knew in first class one time and went up and said hello and looked around real good and went back into my little squirrel position. You know, I know how squirrels eat. If you're in coach, I don't know how they are now, but you more or less sit like this and they bring you your stuff and you don't want to elbow this person, so you sit here and you do like this and everybody looks like little squirrels nibbling on their nut, you know. So the next time they came after it was denied, guess what? It changed. They didn't want to give off the image of just blowing money like there was no end. They became concerned about their, listen, I-M-A-G-E, the image. The image they were given. Because the congressman went on to say, it's like seeing a man with a top hat and tails in a soup line. And if you can afford a top hat and tails, you don't need to be in no soup line. It's like stepping off of a corporate jet that costs $20,000 for a round trip and holding out a tin cup and say, I need help financially. Image is important. That's why Paul said, you know, when they went into an area, they didn't want the gospel to be questioned. They didn't want their motive to be questioned. If they could have got the hundredfold and became opulent, Paul wouldn't have done it. How do you know, Brother Venable? Because he said, how? You know our conversation among you. Conversation is not what he was saying. It is the Greek word for our behavior, our manner of living. Everybody say manner of living. How that we, listen to this carefully, coveted no man's gold, no man's apparel. We worked with our own hands to provide for our needs. So that you could hear the gospel. Now, he went on to say, if you're a full-time ministry and that would come, amen, after the gospel wasn't questioned anymore, he said, you don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. You lay in store. Systematic giving is a New Testament concept. It has nothing to do with the Old Covenant. It's nothing to do with Melchizedek, none of that. Amen. You set aside, because the church work of the kingdom can't go on if people don't do that. Simply can't do it. Amen. So set aside. Amen. And then you give when you get there. But you set it aside. You don't wait till you get there and be manipulated and merchandised and have all these things happen. Because when somebody comes in church, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't need to hear about fundraising. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap like there's 1,000 of you in here. If I finally get someone from my job, and some people have come here from my job, but if I finally get someone that I'm witnessing to bring to God's house, I don't want to bring them in there and the pastor spend the preaching hour. Like he could have lifted up Jesus talking about raising funds and who will pledge this for the new whatever that we're doing. I really believe that God's blessing is contingent upon us doing kingdom work. We're here with everything paid for, and I still feel blessed. I don't know when the revival is going to break here. Amen. But I believe one day it will break. And I believe part of the reason it's going to break is because everything else is going to shake, but that's built on a foundation, amen, of the Word of God and the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Well, we're sitting here, amen, with a ministry built on the Word of God, the unshakable Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will abide forever. And we're preaching the unshakable kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when all the dust settles, that mighty message and those people standing on that truth will still be standing. And let me clue you in. I'm young. I was young. Can't believe it or not. Amen. I was young. And now, I hate to say it, but I can't hold out much longer. When you qualify for Social Security, you got to be getting older. Can you say amen? Many years have passed. I was young. David said it. I guess I can be humble enough to. I was young. How old do you think he was when he said that? Can you say amen? I was young and now I'm older. In fact, I'm old, comparatively. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging bread. God will provide for his children who put his kingdom first. I said who put his kingdom first. I said who put his kingdom first. Hallelujah. All these things that the Father knows you need will be added unto you. But whether or not he's going to make you a multimillionaire, I'm amazed that hundreds of thousands of people follow this message. And none of them that I know, and I've met a lot of them down through the years, are multimillionaires. In fact, they're not even millionaires. In fact, most of them are doing about like I am. Which, if you think about it, is pretty good. I got food and raiment and Jesus. Still got my job. Still got the health to work it. Praise God. Still preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord. On top of everything else. Not ashamed to be working and preaching the gospel because Paul wasn't. One thing for sure, people know I'm not in it for the fame. Can you say amen? I'm not in it for the fame. And I'm not in it for the money. You don't get rich doing this if you love God. Amen. And if you could get rich, you wouldn't get rich if it would in any way hinder the presentation of the gospel. That's why Paul said, you know something? I want you to clearly understand we're after your soul for Jesus Christ. There's no ulterior motive here. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna go on record as saying anyone who stands receiving an offering that's still flying in a jet because they can't fly first class, they need to think about how the nation and the Congress viewed these leaders of these great companies. We lead people supposedly toward an everlasting eternal kingdom. We're representative of a different kingdom with different values. Can you say amen? Before we ask anyone to give us their last dollar, we need to think about maybe going first class. Why not? What possible reason would there be for humble people who are not interested at all in impressing the world? Because we serve a different master. Wouldn't it be great to see some humility? Amen. But guess what happens? When you break that image, the people that are given to that ministry who want to be what you are, they're disillusioned. The only reason they'd give after that is because Jesus died on an old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Which is the only real reason to give anyway. Somebody give him glory in this room tonight. I'm telling you just like it is. We had an opportunity to avoid what is happening in America right now. 9/11's target. Where did God allow? And he had to allow. Believe me, he is in control. You can't have a sovereign God and have things happen. God say, oops. God never says oops. Say it with me. God never says oops. What happened at 9/11, God saw that coming. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Amen? He sees the end from the beginning. He could have caused something to happen to avert that. But because we're going headlong into materialism, and the church is buying into it too. Used to, the church was different. Used to preach with my dad and had a little silver tone amplifier, and I put a 20-foot mic cord on it. No, well, it's 15-foot. I take that back. It's about 15-foot long. That means I could go from here to Ruth, probably. Amen. As far as I could move around on my with my little mic cord. And Dad played the fiddle, and I would preach, and I had on my G&W fashion shop suit. Amen, or not suit, actually sport coat, and I could tell you some tales about what I did to alter pants myself because I couldn't afford to have them altered. They were nice slacks. Somebody bought a fine-looking suit, but I you just start the belt loops if it's hanging down to here in the crotch. Amen. You pin up the bottom. You pin up the cuffs. My wife could sew the cuffs because she didn't do anything with this waist. So you just go below the belt loops and cut them suckers clean. Cut scissors right across the top of it. Now your zipper won't stay up, so you got to lock it down. You got tricks of the trade. Amen. You got to lock it down somehow. Amen. With a little bitty safety pin, you lock it down after you zip it. And don't drink too many liquids until you get home. I mean, I preach the gospel that way. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But you never take your coat off. I don't care if it's the summertime, the air conditioner is on the fritz. You never take your coat off. Because if I take my coat off, my belt is around a part of pants where the loops have been cut off. And that don't look too nice with my nice white shirt and coordinating tie. Amen. But that was my preacher suit, praise God. Amen. And I preached the gospel and felt privileged to preach the gospel. Kept my coat on, my zipper up, and I preached the gospel. Can you say amen? And God was good to me. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I feel extraordinarily blessed tonight. And I have no need, amen, of what opulence offers. I do not represent a kingdom that is marked. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And yet, God has been good to me. And I feel extremely blessed tonight. But I feel no need to compete or compare with this old world. Can you say amen? We used to sing before I would preach and my dad would play. I guess we should pity the man in this world that uses the earth for a bed. But the song went on to encapsulate a great truth that if a man is in that state and he knows Christ, amen, he's not the one to be pitied. The man in the penthouse that doesn't own the pearl of great price, amen, that's the man we should pity, not the man that knows Jesus and has this eternal kingdom within. Hallelujah. I was accused back at the Holy Church of God. A man went to a place and got this perspective, and he came back, and I was preaching the same thing, and he got so irritated at me. He came in my office and my desk. He took his fist, and he went. He said, "You're the reason people are this and that. Bang on that, because you're preaching poverty. Bang and bang." And I thought, Lord, he's going to break his hand. He's going to break his hand. Amen. He's just going to break his hand trying to change me. So irritated and frustrated that I wouldn't get on that bandwagon. And honey, I'll be honest with you. I begin to listen without deeper study, and there were some things I said that I wish I hadn't have said, and some people I named that I wouldn't name tonight as someone to follow, because this thing kept veering more and more and more and more and more until it absolutely became totally encased in the physical material world, and nothing, little or nothing, about eternity. No wonder God has to get the attention of this nation. 9/11, what did God allow to be hit as a target? Well, he didn't allow, the Pentagon took a hit, but it was just a minor hit comparatively. Not many deaths at the Pentagon, did not disrupt anything much at all in America. Amen. The White House was a target, but no one made it to the White House. What was the target that became vulnerable? Amen. The World Trade Center. Amen. No one put two and two together. Hardly. Amen. Except spiritual people. By the way, the spiritual people that put it together, you never heard from them. Amen. Their message is pushed aside. because it's not popular, it's not in vogue. It doesn't bring the dollars in. When it happened, I thought, yeah. What a message is God sending us? What are you trying to tell us? We've been through world wars in Vietnam, and no one has touched anything on this continent because of the righteous wall. Everybody say the righteous wall. The devil said, I want to get at Job. God said, touch everything he's got, but you don't touch his life. He said, I can't touch nothing unless you let the wall down. Can you? How many know God's in control? Amen. Amen. If you don't let the wall down, listen, when that wall came down and something got touched, we ought to say, what got touched and what is God trying to tell us all? Can you say amen? And for a little while, there was a little spiritual puff in America. Right after 9/11, we didn't know we felt vulnerable for the first time in the history of this nation to our enemies. England wasn't vulnerable. Was vulnerable during World War II. And people didn't know when planes would come, bombs would come. They didn't know if the German army would march into London. Except a man stood up and said, we'll fight them in the hedgerows. We'll fight them in the streets. We'll fight them. We will not capitulate like other countries have done. We'll fight to the last man. And God gave. Amen. Not Winston Churchill. He was used of God, but God gave. I didn't say he was a man of God, but I said he's God's man for that hour. Can you say amen? To inspire a nation, glory be to God. And God gave a victory. And God put a stop to some things. And we allied with the right cause. And God gave us a victory. But when the walls come down, it means something is amiss spiritually. And we needed to seek God to get it right. There should have been a cry from the pulpits of America to repent. Get on our faces again and reevaluate our values. The preacher should have preached Christ and Him crucified in repentance so that God could put the wall back up. I got real excited because I thought there could be something positive come out of this terrible tragedy. And there was. Churches on Sunday morning had new people, new faces. People that were backslid went back for a little while. Within 3 months, 90 days, after there was a sense of everything's under control, we got it covered, everything's okay. As soon as the feeling of comfortableness and the lack of feeling of vulnerability anymore came, those people that came in drifted right back out. Statistically, it happened. No church grew as a result of 9/11. It was just, God help us when we need help. When we get through our crisis, go back. Back off my life. Make no claim on my life. The Lordship of Jesus isn't the message. Everything is a financial arrangement with God. Every blessing is a financial arrangement. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. When God gets your whole heart, amen. It's amazing. When God gets your heart, right. He gets this for nothing. Amen. If He didn't give you 100-fold or 10-fold or even 1-fold, if He has your heart, He'll have this in you. Amen. Amen? There was an army supposed to swear allegiance to a Christian king, but they hated their enemy. And they were ordered by a Christian king. This is in history. I'll find this out sometime. But they were ordered to be baptized in water. You gotta follow Jesus, guys. You got to. Of course, you know you can't do it that way. But the king said, you got to follow Jesus. They took their swords. And you can't hate your enemies anymore. And there had been wars back and forth. And all this bitterness, that's what's driving all of the hatred in the Middle East right now, is unforgiveness over thousands of years. Amen. And his men went into the water and they went under, but they held their sword arm and their sword out of the water. We will be baptized, but we are going to avenge our brothers in arms. We're going to avenge our families that have been hurt and killed by this enemy. In other words, we're not giving our whole life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because they weren't truly saved. You can't be ordered into the kingdom. You have to be drawn by the Lord into it. We didn't get the message of 9/11, which was, you need to come back to me, America. How was Israel judged? Enemies prevailed over people that had a covenant of victory. Everybody say enemies prevailed. Read it. Any book in the Bible, you just pick it up anywhere, whether it be the Assyrians or Nebuchadnezzar, whoever it is, their compromise made them vulnerable to their enemies. And until they compromised, you couldn't touch them. You better not touch them. That wall was up. Can you say amen? That righteous wall, that hedge was up. So now, since we didn't listen to that, the shaking has come again. And now it's touching everybody. It's going to touch these ministries. There are churches fearing bankruptcy, and I understand the circumstance. I'm not taking any glee out of this, but I'm saying that riding this crest of this wave of more and more and more, it's beginning to decline. And I'm praying that this time, you know who came to David in that cave? Who got interested in a spiritual God you can't see but can do mighty things in your life? Amen. The people that were disillusioned, discouraged, in debt, and realized that King Saul, with all of his riches and all of his authority and power, couldn't help them, that only God could. And God helped a shepherd boy slay a giant, and they remembered that victory, and it was supernatural. And in that cave of Adullam, these people, disillusioned with all of these issues, they came to someone that would point them to the supernatural God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? You know what I believe? We're going to weather this storm. Number one, we got a standing with the Lord. And if we're following Jesus, we are not perfect people. But righteousness is not based on sinless perfection, but a heart attitude that says, He's the Lord of my life. And with my life, I endeavor to serve Him. And when I come short, I confess that I've come short. Can you say amen? And I get up again and acknowledge He is the Lord of my life. That's kingdom stuff there. That's coming under the rulership of a great king that is worthy of our love and our adoration and our total commitment. I believe He's going to sustain the righteous through this. I fully expect to be taken care of. I'm not worried about, amen, somebody said, oh, if we this company should close, jobs are so scarce. This is not about how scarce things are. This is about how great and good God is. If God can't help you when things are scarce, then He's not God. God hadn't been helping you at all. Just like everybody else. When times are good, it's good for you. When times are bad, you're in trouble like everyone else. I believe God's going to make a way for His children. He's going to make a way some way. Can you say, man, somebody's going to retire on the day I go looking for work, and they're going to do it suddenly. Amen. They're going to say, I'm done here. I kept it a secret. Afraid you'd fire me. I'm done. Well, we need somebody. Here I am. Praise God. Someday it might just be that people that are disillusioned want to hear the truth. They might show up at that door one of these days. Just a few thousand of them. Not all of them. I'm not greedy. But I would love to see people that are interested in God's kingdom and rejoicing in what they have. God is shaking. I will read the scripture, make a couple more comments, and we're going to close. Listen to it. Hebrews 12, 25 through 28, and you're going to hear this quoted by people prophetically more and more. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, Hebrews 12, 25, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. If you don't listen to Moses when he talked to you, what about it when God speaks? Whose voice did what? Was it just an audible voice, a supernatural hearing of a voice? No, whose voice shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken might remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, literally, which cannot be shaken, may remain. Wherefore, we also receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I'll tell you, when the kingdom comes back into view and people bow to this great king, we serve him differently. We don't serve him, amen, as if he's a Kris Kringle figure, and we don't disrespect him. We serve him reverently and with godly fear. Can you say amen? The shaking that's happening now is global. God is actually telling the whole world, your system that all of your faith is in is shaken to the core. Remember in the book of Revelation when the famines come? The angel is just letting everything fail. It's devastation. People are the hunger, the world, global hunger sets in. There are certain opulent people that's not touched by it, sitting in their high tower. The oil and wine, the delicacies of the day, were not touched. Amazing. I wouldn't want to be that rich man that fares sumptuously every day and not be shaken by this shaking. That is so insulated with such wealth that he doesn't humble and bow to God. You know why? Because when he dies, his soul is required of him. And if nothing shakes him, nothing moves him, nothing causes him to think about eternal things, he's going to be lost forever. Let me tell you about the people who manipulate you and me, not only in the church, but also in the world, that have made themselves rich off the back. We made ourselves rich in the South off the back of slaves. That's our history. And we reaped a civil war where more people died in that civil war than any of the world wars we have fought as a nation. And it was brother against brother that caused the bloodshed. God is not mocked. And the church was silent because that's where her money came from. And the silence in the pulpit, God had to bring a judgment to change things. And he did. America's not exempt. Scripture's very clear. And we're beginning to sense that. I think people that have listened to the false doctrines and false teachers are having a rude awakening. Guy at work looked at me in the locker room and he winked a few months back. He gave me a wink, and it wasn't a guy wearing mascara either, so don't think it wasn't that kind of wink. It was something I was supposed to know, something inside between us Christians. And he called a national evangelist that had promised 2008 the transfer of wealth from the wicked would be delivered to the righteous, i.e. me, him, and y'all. And he gave me a wink and he said, "Brother so-and-so said the transfer is about to take place." And I didn't have time. You know what I'm saying? I got to clock in and go to work. I don't have time for a theological argument because there's no point in it. I'm not telling people God's not going to bless you. I'm just saying this is not what the Bible is teaching. This is not about now. This is about the millennial reign of. This is about when all Israel believes. Amen. This is under the heading of something future. But folks, if we're going to get this lady to turn this thing upside down, we're going to change the image. Listen, we got to change our image. If Detroit's having to, they came back in hybrids. They didn't even come back in Escalades. They didn't come back in Lincolns. Can you say amen? If they got their tin cup, they're coming in hybrids. They're going to economize. Anybody with a $20 million jet trip back and forth where they go preach that's trying to put a trip on me, don't you love these children? Don't you care about the lost? I thought, well, you don't care enough to sell that sucker and go first class. Big sacrifice, first class. I've never been first class in my life. Don't need to be. I'm trying to get from here to there. However, the squirrel thing I pretty much got down to. How long are you going to be up there? I don't go transcontinental. They haven't heard of me yet in Europe. Amazing. All America knows of me, but Europe is still kind of, you know, waiting to get the big news flash and call me to Europe, to, you know, the United Kingdom. Just wait till they get a load of me. Can you say, man? No, God hadn't opened up those doors. But listen to me. How, if that image was so important, can't we preachers figure out that our image has something to do with the receptivity by the world of our gospel? But when we tell everybody that it's God's will for you to be opulent, I mean, there's a guy in California that drives a Rolls Royce. Amen? Not a Cadillac or a Lincoln or an Expedition or an Escalade. A Rolls Royce. He said, when I started out with Volkswagen faith. And then I got Ford something faith. And then I got Chevrolet something faith. And I've been building my faith. And now I've got Rolls Royce faith. And he said, you know something? He said, I could go on beyond that. And I could have me a custom made. In other words, I could go beyond road. There's no limit to where I'm headed with my faith. Let me teach you. Amen. I can go and have me a custom made car with nobody's ever. It'll be brother so and so car, whatever. And I'm sitting back listening to these tens of thousands of people. Yeah. And I'm saying, what in the world is the man talking about? Faith for more and more stuff while the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And when someone questioned his salary and Billy Graham's salary and said, you know, this man is a worldwide evangelist and he doesn't live in that kind of office, he said, well, if he wants to live that way, he can. But God's blessing me. Strident, proud, arrogant, rude. Representing who? Jesus. And what? A kingdom that doesn't come with observation. Preachers don't have to become monks and live in monasteries. But we need to be concerned about our image. Amen. If we're going to get on television, we're going to stand in a church and receive offerings. Amen. We need to live a life that represents a kingdom that's based on different values. Amen. Than this world. I think a pastor ought to have a nice, decent home. Amen. How about it? Anybody agree with me in here? You'll be amazed. Some people resent what little I've got. There are people out there. Tell me about it. There are people that resent what little. You can never have too little. I mean, you know, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. I mean, a lot of people pray that way. I mean, poor, poor. I had to sell my property to get my teeth filled when I first became a minister. I couldn't get them filled on my salary. When they set my salary, you know what some people told me? They said, now, if you get an offering above the salary by then, I think back then was about $150 a week. And they said, if you get an offering, someone gives you a love offering, someone sends you a Christmas card with money in it, you report that so we can deduct it from your salary. I said, what you're saying is that God can't bless me beyond my paycheck. That's it. He can't. I don't care if I gave everything I had, Lord. He can't bless me beyond what you think is appropriate. And boy, I got a lesson in how people look at things. So I don't preach that kind of stuff. I've heard preachers couldn't buy their kids shoes, and that's not representing the kingdom either. And, amen. That is no way. But on the other hand, there are people living, amen, in places people wouldn't dream of, trying to make a statement of, I have arrived somewhere representing a kingdom that's not based on all of this stuff. We're misrepresenting the gospel of Jesus. That is not what's driving the revival. That message is not driving the gospel, the revival in China. Those people are willing to sacrifice all for Jesus Christ. It's driving a revival that in spite of all the pressure is thriving. Can you say amen? It's driving. That message is not driving the revival in South America. That message is comfortable in one setting. You can't preach it in South Africa. Amen? No, they're not getting opulent down there. But God is making a way for every one of His children. And you'd be amazed at how little they have and how grateful they are. Amen. and how much glory they give God for it. That message is comfort in a materialistic nation that's lost sight of the true values. That's why kids wearing the designer jeans, paying the big bucks to go to the movie and buy stuff in the mall, were so enamored with the Waltons because they saw something represented that wasn't happening in their lives that they thought was really neat. A family. People having worth. Good night, John boy. Instead of go listen to your headset and get out of my hair. The love, the closeness of a family during the Depression that had nothing but the real stuff of life. Food, raiment, each other. And if you should add to that a faith, you've got true riches. And all these kids with everything looked and envied these kids sitting around that table wondering how we're going to make it through the winter. And yet with such love and peace, communication, the real family values were represented in that program. Little House on the Prairie did the same thing. Had a long run on television. Didn't have much, had each other. We come along and say that's not enough. That is valueless, meaningless. It's all in the stuff. How dare we? Leonard Ravenhill said long before the shaking came, long before the mega churches, long before the preachers that are notoriety now, he said America prophetically has been cursed with blessings. See, if you don't give God the glory, blessings become curses. And if she doesn't repent, she's going to be blessed with cursings. I believe we need the message of repentance to begin in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe we need to reevaluate what's really important in our lives. I believe we need to get the kingdom back in view and not just the envy of the world around us. By the way, the transfer is what stimulates giving in tough times. Because if I just keep consistently pouring it in, this big dump truck's going to pull up in my front yard. And they're going to raid Angelina and Brad's house. And they're going to get all the stuff from Angelina and Brad. And they're going to bring it to my house. And the dump truck's going to back up. And you can hear that thing. Remember when they back up, you hear that. If you ever hear that one morning, you expect to hear that. There's a beep that goes so you don't back over anybody. They can get out of the way. You hear that beep, 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 beep. And you jump out of bed and you say, I know what it is. It's the dump truck. I've been waiting on it. Yes, the train. Here it comes. Here it comes. Because they got to drive this message with something. It's not the cross that's stimulating the giving. It's not Christ. It's not souls. It's the dump truck coming. Can you say amen? And the dump truck comes and right in my front yard. Everything that, and Angelina and Brad get up one morning and say, what happened? Well, the dump truck came. God's dump truck come, took it all away. You got a problem with that? Take it up with God. Don't call the popo. Can you say amen? He did it. That's how silly. We're all grinning tonight. But people have bought it hook, line, and sinker. And literally bought it. They've paid for it. Christians support these ministries. They couldn't have the influence if it wasn't for Christians supporting. We want what the world has because we don't appreciate or appropriate the kingdom that we have already. I still pity the man in the penthouse tonight that don't know Jesus more than I pity the man that has no bed. Who does? That doesn't mean you don't get a bed when you get saved and get your immediate needs met. But beyond that, it's up to God. Amen. Some people are going to be wealthy Christians, but I'm going to say it clearly, and if you live long enough, it'll bear me out. It's an exception. It is not the rule. But I'm already rich. Because I'm happy with what I have. Can you say amen? Because I have the kingdom of God. The peace, the joy is not, I haven't found it in any catalog. Have you, Ruth? I haven't received anything from Spiegel that says peace. $1,052, special sale, half off. Amen. I haven't found joy at any price. Oh, you can buy stuff and get a rush for, but I'm talking about joy unspeakable. Whom having not sees an invisible kingdom, but what it gives you is tangible stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. Whom having not seen, we love, Peter said, with joy unspeakable, full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. This Christmas season, people are going to get so involved in the same thing the world is. And I celebrate it. I love the lights. I love the music. I love the food. There I've said it. Amen. My dad is a deviled egg freak.
Amen.
He's deviled eggs like other people eat nanner pudding. Deviled eggs are food for the meal and dessert after the meal and breakfast the next morning. Can you say amen? Along with his cereal. He loves deviled eggs. He can't get enough of them. We take a plate, it's gone. He goes back and gets them. He plays guitar, goes and eats deviled eggs. Amen. Special food, special season. We should enter in and celebrate because we are celebrating the right thing above all people.
Amen.
But when Christmas is over, that joy is supposed to remain.
Yes.
That peace is supposed to remain. And every Sunday morning, I said every Sunday when we assemble together, we're to celebrate again and again until Jesus Christ returns. And when people see us celebrating in times like this, they're going to begin to scratch their head and say, "What? Didn't they read the paper? Didn't they listen to the news? Don't they understand how tough it is?" And we're going to say, "Listen, it's not affecting what God is giving us. His love, His peace, His joy, being right with God, knowing I don't know what tomorrow holds. I know who holds tomorrow. I can live my life confidently." Amen. I didn't lose tens of thousands in the stock market. How about you?
Amen.
Took all of my money just to pay my bills, so I didn't invest. But that's okay. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God will provide as we keep trusting Him and putting the kingdom first. Are you glad you came tonight? Do you understand this shaking thing that's going on? Do you understand what God wants to achieve is not to hurt, not even to punish. He wants to wake us up and bring us home. Hallelujah. And when the dust settles from the shaking that God is involved in, yes, He is, because He controls the whole universe.
Amen.
Can you say, man, He's allowing it to touch America, isn't He? Yes, He is. And, oh, yeah, and not just us. We thought it was us for a while and felt kind of sad. But now we find out it's touching Japan. It's touching China. You know what they said from Russia and Japan? They said, "Fix it, America." Actually, one of their ambassadors said, fix it quick. Because the ripple effect is touching us. If you don't hurry and fix it, fix it. Just fix it.
Repent.
Repent, America. Your God once blessed you. I don't know what you've done, but straighten it out. Can you say amen? Because if you return to Him, what happens? He returns to you. Oh, the next revival that comes, no, I prophesy this with the anointing on me as we close. No man, no woman with no anointing or gifts is going to lead it. It's going to be in churches where people really put the kingdom first that it's going to start breaking out. No personality is going to lead this. God has sent people with great anointings, and people followed the person instead of Jesus when it was over. Amen. And it didn't last. When that person that stimulated it left, the stimulus left. The stimulus this time is going to be the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen Himself? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And maybe we're here. Maybe we're waiting. Maybe we're in the wings. For such a time as this, because I haven't compromised the message to try to fill this room and make my life easier. I'm working with these hands that I couldn't get clean this morning from the grease around the machines. And I did everything I could because I thought if I shake hands, I don't want those down in the, I don't want the roughness and I don't want the grease in there. But you know something? Amen. I'm still glad that I can stand here and preach exactly what I preach because it's the truth. And if we come back to God in America, God's going to come back to us. Hallelujah. And I believe that there are people that are going to give heed in these because God is getting the attention of people that were just going on in their life, floating along. All of that has begun to change now. God is so gracious. God is so good. And I'm looking for a real revival. Brother, would you come? Now, do you still have this morning's? Would you put on number two, please? One song before we go home. Hallelujah. A lot of people are out sick. Be thankful you're not. Give you something to be thankful for, because people are struggling with issues. And there are people on vacation that said they will be back as soon as they're through with all the family visitations. And we're little, so when several people are out, we're very little. But God is big, and He's great, and He's gracious. And he's not through with me. I have quizzed him about that. I said, Lord, are you done with me? Is it time to pass the mantle? Amen. He's not done with me yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I thought I'd tell you that. Thank you, Father. That was a witness to what I just said. Salabadite tanama sikia mesholobo lalaba lishalamanite ikashalamanite tianda le kashala litotoro rosha le kianda damasa isa likianda damasitia eka le shalamanen. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, I feel such an anointing. I am not a prophet nor a son of a prophet. I am a pastor, period. I am not an apostle. I am not a bishop. I don't know what some of those terms, how they apply or how to apply them. But I feel an anointing. The revival in China tonight is taking place when people come together in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no somebody of great importance. He is the star. He is the driving force of that revival. No one is coming to get wealthy or anything else. They're coming to get saved. Can you say amen? They're coming to flee the wrath to come. That's how you know it's real revival, because the Holy Spirit warns people to flee the wrath to come. Can you say amen? He doesn't just promise people stuff to hook them into the kingdom. He shows them spiritual and eternal realities. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, to face Him as judge and not as Savior. I saw that, and it's verifiable. I saw it in South Vietnam, the same thing. 25 here, 50 here, 15 here. The mighty move of God in South Vietnam is out of house unit churches where people just show up. There's no big central church and no great preacher. Christians come together in the name of Jesus Christ, and God moves and works wonders. That's a God-driven revival. Can you say amen? Because Jesus is the personality that everyone is stimulated by. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet tonight? God is with us through this. I'm so glad to be a Christian in times like these. And I'm glad to be a pastor in a time such as this, with a message that I believe is important. How many believe this message should be preached something similar in churches across America? Amen. If we're going to give hope to people, it has to be legitimate, not just holy hype, not just a promise of the transfer, but a promise that God is in control. And if we bow to Him and return to Him, He'll return to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're glad that you got a preacher like that? I know I'm not much and we're not much, but hey, amen, I'm glad to be your pastor. I hope you're glad to have me tonight.